Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Bob Flounders and Andy Shea. Ross Tucker will be along for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross shortly. Guys, we're going a little bit different today. We are going to start with the news of the week, but I also want to hit our question of the week, which is on the transfer portal. So we'll get to that towards the end of quarter number one. Bob, let me start with you, though, with the news. The latest player to enter the portal is Zach Kuntz. And I got to say, I'm not surprised. Are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can just go back to the last KSN podcast that the three of us did, and we talked pretty pointedly about Zach Kuntz and his future, because I think one of the topics that we had was maybe it was Mike Yurcich, I think, in the two tight end set, and, you know, who would be a factor in that. And Andy and I talked, you know, he's in his fourth year at Penn State, and when you're in your fourth year at Penn State and we don't know a lot about you, I think it's fairly damning. And I think one of us said, you know, he might be better off, you know, somewhere else. I thought it was very telling, guys, that, you know, when Freiermuth got hurt, I don't know what Kuntz's health was like. I'm assuming he was in decent health. He played late in the year, but they didn't look his way. They went to Brenton Strange, and then they went to the true freshman, Theo Johnson. And I just thought that was all I needed to see. I kind of felt like, and maybe Zach felt that way as well, that the way that they're recruiting tight ends, the way that they have them stacked up, and these guys are both young. I just didn't see a way for him to easily get on the field. He added 40 pounds since he arrived at Penn State. But clearly, the athleticism and the impact that he made as a high school player, it clearly was not translating on the college level, at least not at Penn State. I think it's a smart move for him. He probably got his degree, but I think it's time for him to move on.
Yeah, only thing I want to say is just because he enters the transfer portal doesn't mean Zach Kuntz is a bad football player, right? Like, I'm not playing player defense here, but it doesn't mean that. He always had a long walk home going. He was an impact player as a high school player, but he played small school football, right? And it's easy when you're 6'7" and that athletic and that big to stand out and be that kind of impact player. It was always going to be a big jump for him, and it was always going to take a couple years, right? Like, so you shouldn't have expected anything until this year at the, you know, this year was his year, right? If he was going to make the jump and be able to get on a Big Ten field at Penn State, this was going to be it. And here's the other part of it. It doesn't mean he would have played anyway. Zach, remember Pat Freiermuth played as a true friend? He came out of nowhere, right? Like, he was
Zach was the higher, was the more coveted recruit.
Right, he was the more coveted recruit of the two, and it turns out as that Pat Freiermuth early and often was the better player. So it was always going to be a long walk home for him to jump from that small school, high school player to an FBS Big Ten field, and it was always going to take time. He never got in the window where he made himself relevant enough to get on the field when Pat Freiermuth couldn't play. And he should transfer. He should find some place where there's opportunity. That's all I wanted to say.
I don't think any of us have an issue with Zach Kuntz moving on. As a fan, I think you look at it where he wasn't going to get on the field here. Go somewhere where there's an opportunity. In my mind, this is why they even have a transfer portal. There was another transaction on the team. Tim Banks, the safeties coach, took the defensive coordinator job at Tennessee. Speaking of not blaming a guy, you get a promotion to coordinator. You get a nice bump in salary. Certainly can't blame him for making the move. My question for both of you, and I'll start with Bob, is you need to replace him, of course. So what do you want, a coach who can recruit or a recruiter who can coach?
Yeah, I, Jimmy, I see what you're driving at. If I'm James Franklin, I'm not going to lock myself into finding a coach that specialty is safeties. I want to add a good defensive assistant to my staff that can recruit, that is versatile, that maybe has worked with a lot of different positions. I think that's something that would benefit Penn State. You look at the makeup of Penn State's defensive coaching staff now. You have a couple of guys who are versatile. I'm fairly certain that Terry Smith, if he needed to in a pinch, could help out with the safeties. If Brent Pry needed to focus on the safeties for a year until James got the staff the way that they wanted it to, I think he could do that as well as coordinate the defense. Joe Lorig, I think, has been helping with the linebackers last year in addition to being the special teams coordinator. I do think I would not necessarily be looking for primarily a guy whose specialty is safeties coach. It is an important position, but I want a good defensive coach who's kind of got a little bit of a varied background, and I want a coach who's a very good recruiter, because Penn State, after the 2021 class, they need to make up some ground, I think, in recruiting circles. They're off to a great start in 2022. They lost a good recruiter in Tyler Bowen, so I'm with you, Jimmy. I don't know that they necessarily need a coach that's going to be able to just come in and coach the safeties. They need a defensive-minded coach who's also a very good recruiter.
The one thing I want to say, and you it's easy to start thinking now that Penn State, their coaching staff is a bit of a revolving door, right? You can say like, oh my gosh, Tim Banks left, another guy's gone. But when I think about it, and I don't want to give James Franklin some credit here, remember a few years back when he was like, we can't let guys leave because of money, right? And other than the few guys he's fired, and he hasn't fired many, right? What is it, like 90% of them, above 80%? Almost all of them take upward mobility positions. You know what I mean? Tim Banks is going to call plays again and be a coordinator. He was a co-coordinator at Penn State, you know, under Brett, and he had some additional responsibilities. So I know a lot of guys have been kind of leaving, but they're not leaving and jumping and making you go like, oh, well, that just doesn't. And they're fertile ground. Penn State's a fertile assistant coach market.
One thing I would say, guys, is whoever they bring in, we're talking about a recruiter, it would help if whoever comes in could recruit the safety position better. We talked about it. I think that's the chink in the armor. They have not been able to identify and develop safety recruits. They've had to borrow from other positions, and some players have helped them out, whether it's been Troy Apke, whether it's been Garrett Taylor, whether it's been Lamont Wade. I mean, they've had a lot of guys they've had to move around because safety, pure safety developmental recruits have not worked out. They've also had to reach into the JUCO ranks, and it's paid off. But there's a very real possibility this year that their starting safeties are going to be JUCO players, not guys that they have necessarily recruited that were four-star recruits. Jaquan Brisker's a win, obviously, as a JUCO, but they might be looking at the other guy, Jair Brown, as the other guy to start, but they've missed on some safety prospects. They have some young guys on the team, guys like Enzo Jennings, who were kind of coveted recruits, but if you go back the last few years, you know, their success rate with pure safety, I think, prospects, I don't think it's been very good. So they got to identify safeties, and they got to develop them.
All right, I'm just going to be blatant about it. Hire a recruiter. Okay, bring in a recruiter. We'll worry about the other things later. In the couple minutes we have left, guys, I want to ask you the question that we're running as a theme for the week. I've talked to Dustin. I've talked to Greg. Tucker's Tape is going to tackle this, and that's the transfer portal. We all know it's here to stay, Andy, but are there ways that they could tweak it and make it better? My thing here is I'm making you the czar of college football. What changes would you make?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I will say I'm a big fan. I like the transfer portal. I like the players having some mobility and opportunity instead of being so landlocked at one university. I know there is a good case to be made for the, you know, you commit to a school, you stay around, you go there at your school, blah, blah, blah. But I think the mobility of it is very appealing to me, and I think it serves the players well, and that's important to me. But I will say this. if I'm the czar, I want you can only enter the transfer portal once. You can't, if you go in like Lamont Wade did, you go in and then you decide and you come out and you go back to Penn State, right? Or Micah Bowen, who came to Penn State, stayed 1 year, and then transferred to Oklahoma. That's it. You can only go in the transfer portal once. You can't go in the transfer portal again. I just think don't give them two Big Macs for $5 and let them go in there twice, right? Or two Whoppers for $5. You know what I mean? Like, don't give them one shot at it and make sure it's the right decision for them when they go in there. And if they go in there and they stay in there and then they don't go back, they're still in the transfer portal, but you get to enter it only once. That's my first one.
All right. And we do have instances where they go into the portal and they never come out. How about you, right, Bob? Any ideas?
Well, yeah, I think if you're going to encourage players to have freedom of movement, and you're going to allow them to maybe transfer and maybe, you know, stay at the FBS level and not have to go sit out a year, I just wonder if you're going to encourage that, do you want to consider transfer portal additions differently in terms of scholarships? Do you either want to give that a program more scholarships, or do you want to designate maybe a couple scholarships per year as maybe transfer portal only guys? Because a lot of schools are up against it with the numbers, and maybe they would want to get kids in the transfer portal, but they don't have room. So if you want to encourage the movement, I'm just wondering if you want to look at transfer portal kids a little differently in the scholarship count as compared to an original, you know, letter of intent signee. The other thing Penn State should do, not the NCAA, is they want to encourage kids to come to them via the transfer portal. They got to win more games.
All right. I'll tell you what, here was my thought on it, which is protecting the players from themselves a bit. Micah Bowens left after a year, went to Oklahoma. Candidly, I don't see him seeing the field at Oklahoma if things go the way they're supposed to. I could see him in another year moving on again. My thought was, hey, you have to get a free pass, a free transfer without sitting out a year. How about you have to spend 2 years at a university? That way you can't be Penn State as a freshman, Ohio State as a sophomore, Michigan as a junior. Spend enough time that you're making a right decision, not just, hey, you're homesick, grass is greener somewhere else. All right, that is it for quarter number one. Quarter number two, we're going to do Tucker's Tape. It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about salsas like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.